Our help is in the name of the Lord who has made heaven and earth, who keeps truth forever, and who will never forsake the works of his own hands. Grace be unto you in peace from God the Father, through our Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Dear congregation, we begin this new year and this service also from Singing of Psalter 395, 1, 3, and 4. The Lord our God is good to all, from him all blessings flow. And what follows 395, the first scripture this morning you find in 2 Samuel, 23rd chapter. And I will read the first seven verses. 2 Samuel chapter 23, the first seven verses. Now these be the last words of David. David, the son of Jesse, said, and the man who was raised up on high, the anointed of the God of Jacob, and the sweet psalmist of Israel, said, the Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his word was in my tongue. The God of Israel said, the Rock of Israel spake to me, he that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God. And he shall be as the light of the morning when the sun riseth, even a morning without clouds, as the tender grass springing up out of the earth by clear shining after rain. Although my house be not so with God, yet he hath made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. For this is all my salvation and all my desire, although he make it not to grow. But the sons of Belial shall be all of them as thorns thrust away, because they cannot be taken with hands. But the man that shall touch them must be fenced with iron and the staff of a spear, and they shall be utterly burned with fire in the same place. So far we read God's holy, inspired, infallible word. Let's come before the Lord in prayer and ask for his blessing upon our gathering here today. Dear congregation and consistory, my wife and family, we wish you a truly blessed and prosperous new year. And we know that to be true only when we find our blessing and prosperity in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so our great wish for all of you and for ourselves is that in this newly begun year, we may begin to see for the first time or more and more by renewal what there is to be found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Another year has passed. We enter in upon anew. And we know that the Lord's coming has been foretold. There has been this expectation of the church, even from the New Testament, for his return upon the clouds of glory. And so our hearts also, as we see another year passing by, ought to not lose hope and in this expectation that our Lord is on his way. So that whatever may take place in this year, we may not be moved, may not be troubled, if our hope, our confidence, our strength is in our God. And then we see our calling also as a people and as a congregation to love one another, that the world may know the love we have received of God, we also will demonstrate to others around us. And we ought also then not to be conformed to this world, but our minds ought to be girded up with sober waiting for this very day of our Lord's return. And to that end, we realize there are those still among us who who do not know the saving power and the glory and the beauty of Jesus Christ. And we commend to you this newly begun year, our Lord. He is suitable for all. There is not one whom we have seen last evening is not included in this body of sinners written in the catalog of sin. But there is a sufficiency in the catalog of our Lord to cover with His righteousness all your sin. There are those too who have named in this past year the name of Christ, or have named the name of Christ for many years. We also pray that in this year for you it may be a truly prosperous and banner year, that you may grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That our desire may be also to be fed, to be instructed and taught in the truths of His Word. That is what He will use to teach us, to lead us, and to transform us. Our family also would like to thank you then for all that you have shown to us in kindness and in your deeds and in your words, words of encouragement as well, in your prayers. One can only know that eternity will reveal how your prayers uphold and strengthen the servants of the Lord and enable them and equip them to bring forth His Word with authority. And so in some small way, we trust that we may be able to fulfill the calling that God has given to us. We realize, as we will hear from David this morning, we have our failures and our sins also. But our eyes, as we direct your eyes, need to be fixed upon God and His faithfulness. And we hope in this year as well, as many have done in the past years, that you, in any of your questions, your concerns and your cares, you will come to us and speak. And whether it be spiritual struggles or other concerns, that you would indeed find an open door and a ready ear to hear. And wisdom, we pray as well, to give an answer in due time. And we must not then end in ourselves, and we must not end in one another, but we must end in the Lord, who has given us not only as congregation, but also as consistory, to sense His nearness and presence in the past, that He would also go before us in the days to come. And it's an appropriate time, I believe, as well, to give thanks to various ones who have labored many times behind the scenes on various committees and in various groups within the congregation. And we acknowledge each one. There are many people who do various work connected with each Lord's Day's Sabbath gathering. And we would like to thank them, those who help especially for the church building and activities with each service, the janitor, the organist, those also who help with youth group and volunteering, the Apples of Gold ministry, which the Lord has blessed in this past year, and other groups, the Bible studies and so on that meet. We thank each who are involved and each who take part in leading and helping. Also the book and tape ministry, which often one does not realize the effect of this ministry as well, and the internet ministry too, in which each of the sermons go forth. The Lord knows, and the Lord will gather in His church through all of these means. Those who help with the Hannah Guild, those who help with the bulletin and the Heritage Family News. We also think of those who do so much work with the financial books in the congregation, the Building Maintenance Committee, Senior Fellowship Hour, Vacation Bible School, greeters and hosts, and so many others who take part in the labors of the congregation. And we acknowledge also and thank each of those who, as we are called to do, set forth the Word of God, each in your own way, in your own relationships with others, that you may also point this world, which we brush shoulders with each and every day, and may point out to them the Lord Jesus Christ and His sufficiency for all our need. And we encourage you too, if you are not involved in some kind of activity in some way connected to the church, that you also find a way in which you may serve in various ways for the well-being and for the extension of God's kingdom. But as we look toward this new year, our eyes, congregation, are not to be fixed upon ourselves. Because if they are and will be, there will be little expectation. There will be little confidence and surety as we go forward into the next days and weeks and months. Our eyes, though we do look to ourselves, will only see failures, will only see sin. And so what is the courage we can have to go forward into this new year? Where is the hope that we are to look to? And that's what we want to consider together with God's help this morning, as we find David himself doing, looking ahead to the fulfillment of God's promise and His faithfulness. We turn then to the verse 5 of 2 Samuel 23. Although my house be not so with God, yet He hath made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. For this is all my salvation and all my desire, although He make it not to grow. The last part of that verse, to help it more, make it more understandable too, could be even translated, will He not make it to grow? David's confidence is there expressed. But we want to see this morning this verse and this testimony of David as a fitting confession for the new year, with two thoughts. Although focuses upon our failures. Although my house be not so with God. Secondly, David does not remain there. He says, yet. God's faithfulness. So a fitting confession for the new year. Although our failures, yet God's faithfulness. We don't know, dear congregation, what lies before us in this new year. As we began 2010, hardly, I suppose, would we have expected the year to have turned in the way that it did. Many things have transpired in our lives and in the lives of the church and in the life of this world. And David also, when he was tending sheep alone, writing some of the psalms that we have from the sweet psalmist of Israel, had no idea what lie before him when he was called from the fields that Samuel wanted to see him. Boys and girls, you and I don't know what lies before us in this new year. We don't know what calling shall come to us, and we don't know what shall take place in our lives. Well, we do know that God was leading David. He was with David. David understood something of that at the beginning of his life. Even as a young man, his confidence and his hope and his strength was in the Lord. That's why when he goes to meet his brothers who are in war and he hears the slander and the mockery of this Philistine Goliath, he is moved to go forth in the strength of the Lord to meet him. David eventually, of course, is brought to the throne indeed. God protects David all the way along. And now David has come nearly to the end of his life. David is now perhaps a few short months or years from the time in which he will leave this world. And now the Spirit of God is still upon this man. He is still speaking forth the words which the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord, gives to him. And he's able, despite all that has happened, to look back over his life and to see the Lord's hand of faithfulness. And what will face us in this new year? Whether it be great difficulties, sorrow, pain, trouble, loss of various things, whether it be our job or whether it be things that we own and possess, or whether it be our loved ones through death, whether there be great calamities in the world, wars, disasters, maybe divisions in our families. Maybe we will look at providence that is unfolding in our life in June 20th and begin to wonder what is happening this year. We begin to think perhaps all these things are against us. That's why we need at the beginning of this year to focus upon David's confession. David's hope. Yes, it's true in this verse, David does look back. In his old age, he looks back over his life and his word is, although. Although my house be not so with God. He speaks of his house. His house was very near to him. No doubt, our houses are very near to us. Our families, our loved ones. David's house, he had been promised great things. You remember when he had conquered and he had rest, it says, in the land. And he's living in his cedar house. And he's contemplating how the ark of God had been brought back into Jerusalem. And now David's desire is that God would have a fitting place for his ark, for his own presence to dwell among them. And when David makes this known to Nathan. Nathan, he gives him, as it were, the permission. That's a good idea, David. Go ahead. But then we read that the next day, Nathan, the prophet of God, comes back with the message of the Lord to David. No, you are not going to build my house. You are a man of war. David was not going to build this house of God. And instead, God says to David, rather, I'm going to take of your seed and build my house. And so David's expectation probably for many years hearing this word of God, God's going to use my house, my seed to establish his kingdom. And what we find following that in the books of Samuel is a life of disappointment. A life in which David's family and David himself fall into sin. And David, at the end of his life, looking back, sees it's not in his seed from himself, but it's the seed God is going to give him of the promised one. And that's who he's speaking about at the beginning of this chapter when he speaks of the God of Israel, the Rock of Israel. He that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God. He shall be as the light of the morning when the sun rises, even a morning without clouds, as the tender grass springing out of the earth by clear shining after the rain. David is beginning to understand and realize the one that is coming is the Savior, the Messiah, the Deliverer of God. He begins to understand God's plan and God's purpose is much larger and greater than David. And he says, although my house be not so with God. He looks back over his life. He sees his first wife, Michal. He sees Amnon, his son, and his daughter, Tamar. He thinks of Absalom, who kills his own brother and who seeks to usurp the throne and kingdom and is killed himself in his mourning he has done for Absalom. And then Adonijah, who also will seek to overcome. He looks at his family. Although my house be not so with God. He looks at himself. As he reflects on his own failures. Even as he is running from Saul. He is doubting whether he will ever arise to the promise God had given him to sit on the throne. He thinks of his anger perhaps against Nabal, which he would have carried out if Abigail had not met with him. He thinks of his foolishness and his madness before Achish and Gath. He thinks of his terrible fall into sin with Bathsheba and his killing of her husband Uriah. He will number the people. 70,000 in Israel will die. And he cries out, although my house be not so with God. And maybe as we end last year, and we begin this new, we have the same thought. How can I expect any good in this new year? And this truth which David confesses is an indication of his humility before God. Although my house be not so with God. And David isn't excusing his sin. He isn't excusing the sin of his children in any way. Rather, he's making confession. Although my house be not so with God. And as we begin this new year, is this our understanding? Although, there is no expectation in this new year going to be found when we look at ourselves. There will be failures and there will be sins. Young people, do we realize the decisions of last year we are carrying with us already into this new year? This was David's disappointment. His hope in his family and in himself has come to an end, he says, although. And as office bearers, we make confession too. And our coming into office, our promise will be heard by all. And yet we will have to say over our life, although my house be not so with God. Maybe we have experienced certain encouragement from the Lord, or we have heard in the preaching or the reading of the word encouragement, and we thought to go from strength to strength in the Lord's promise, and yet what we found instead in our own heart and life, what David's experience was, my house is not so with God. We encounter in our life difficulty and trouble, and we question God's goodness. And that tendency, the disposition we have, and as we face the new year, we ought to remind ourselves at the very beginning, though these things happen, they will. God does not deal with His children in a different way than He does with the unrighteous, in the sense of there comes good and there comes evil, but He is using it for His people for good. And when we lose sight of this truth, we begin to question God's goodness and His faithfulness. I trust we realize in this new year, God may indeed bring upon our lives difficulty. But He does so in the life of His church and His children for one express purpose. Not that we would then look at ourselves and question His goodness, but rather cling to Him and His promise. That alone will carry us through. So that whatever happens in 2011, we may know, we may believe it is for the purpose that He gives it to our salvation. And it's a wonder for David that when he looks back over his life, although my house be not so with God, yet He. That's David's confidence. That is David's hope. Children, you know, if your parents would say to you, or they had told you, you may not go to so-and-so's house. And the next day, they say to you, although I told you, you may not go to so-and-so's house. You know that's not a complete sentence. You know they're not finished with what they have to say. There's a yet that comes. Although you weren't able, I said yesterday, to go to your friend's house, yet I tell you, today you may go. This is the stark contrast that David is setting before us. And that brings us to our second thought of God's faithfulness. David realized and understood as he draws near the end of his life, even more than he had ever understood before, his salvation, the church's salvation, depended on God alone. This, he says, is all my salvation and all my desire. He's saying, there is nothing else that I desire more than this. There is nothing else but God that I desire in my life. Can you say this morning with David, although, yet. Yet He, God, David says, yet He hath made with me an everlasting covenant. We could speak about what this is, a revelation of the Davidic covenant as it unfolds for us in the Old Testament. And yet this is none other than what we would understand to be the covenant of grace. And children, you all know that when Adam was placed in the garden, there was also, we say, a covenant made. Covenant of works. If Adam had obeyed God, God would reward him with life. But in disobedience and breaking the covenant, he would face death. And we know that's what happened. That's why we all face in this world sorrow and trouble and death. That's why when we look at 2011 before us, there is the question, what shall take place? If there had been no sin, there would only be expectation, only be confidence that whatever would take place would be good. But there's an although. But there is a yet. Yet He, God, has made a covenant. That's our confidence. This covenant was revealed immediately after the fall. You remember Adam and Eve are running away. And the Lord comes into the garden pursuing them. Where are you? And He reveals to them His covenant. The seed that shall be born of you shall bruise the head of the serpent. There is a coming seed. That's the initial gospel promise. That's the beginning of the unfolding of this covenant of God's faithfulness. We ruined it. But God came. And He restores. He will provide the remedy. He and His Son who agree together to do what is necessary to be done to save people, sinners, His people, shall be accomplished. That's the covenant of grace. And just as we made covenant with God in Adam, though we were not there, we are included under Adam, so in the covenant of grace, all of those who come to repentance and faith, all of those who are given to Jesus Christ for whom He dies, make covenant, as it were, in Christ with God. And so David can say, Yet He hath made with me an everlasting covenant. And as the Old Testament unfolds, we begin to see more and more of this covenant revealed and unfolded. We see it unfolded in Abraham and the promised seed that he would have. And yet we see how long he had to wait for its fulfillment. How many things come upon his path in life to test and try his confidence in God. And that same thing is true today with his children. Though we may have confessed the name of Jesus Christ and are saved through his blood, yet God may lead us into places where we are tested and tried. Will we cling to his promise? Will we, in whatever we face in this new year, not lose sight of, yet he has made with me an eternal covenant? Then whatever our circumstances may be in this year, if we are settled and grounded upon this rock, and although my house be not so with God, yet he. That is our confidence and our strength. And God is revealing more of this covenant also in the life of David as he speaks here by the Spirit. And the prophets, as you read the Old Testament, will unfold for us even more. In very specific ways, Jesus will be born a man of a virgin woman in Bethlehem. And here David is speaking about how the Lord has shown unto him his faithfulness. As he looks back, he has seen that faithfulness displayed and experienced in his life. And the church also, as we reflect back, although our house be not so with God, yet we can say, if we look back, his faithfulness is ever present. His faithfulness in our individual lives was always there. His faithfulness in the church is always present. Otherwise, we would not be gathering this morning in the year of our Lord 2010 to hear His Word. But He, in His faithfulness, has preserved His church until this very day, and He will preserve it unto the very end. And this is David's confidence. This is David's hope as he looks to the future. And so it must be ours also. But maybe you would say, that's wonderful for David. Here was this man of the Old Testament who had so much. The Spirit of the Lord was speaking to him. But I don't have that. I don't have God's promise like David did. It's true. We must have a personal interest in this covenant. David says, yet he has made with me an everlasting covenant. But David, how did he see this? David sees it by faith. David believes this word that had come to him through the mouth of Nathan, the prophet. That this would certainly be fulfilled. That of his house, still, even though it wasn't so with God, God was going to raise up a seed. And he begins to see, obviously, to us, as we read this passage, clearly, the Messiah, the Deliverer, Christ. You see, this covenant does us no good if this covenant is for someone else. If this covenant is only for David and for the person sitting next to me, then of course it has no value for me. Of course, how can this covenant have any profit for me in this new year? Yet, we too have God's promise. We have His faithful Word. He has said to us, He who comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. And all that the Father hath given to me shall come to me. And the very evidence we have, if we come to Jesus Christ, it is evident that we belong to this covenant. He has said to us, whomsoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That's His covenant, faithful promise. We have His Word. He says to us, I will be a God to you and to your seed after you. And then do you say, but I don't have His covenant Word. How dare we speak in such unbelief? And this ought to be the encouragement for us in this new year, when we will be reminded Sunday after Sunday and at various times in this year of God's faithfulness. And each time baptism is administered, this covenant will be reminded to us again. That's what we read in the form for baptism, is the promise of God the Father that He doth make an eternal covenant of grace with us and adopts us for His children and heirs, and therefore will provide us with every good thing and avert all evil or turn it to our profit. But do we believe this faithful promise of God? And the Son in baptism, we read, is assuring and sealing us that He doth wash us from our sins in His blood and incorporates us into Himself, His death and resurrection, so that we are freed from our sin and accounted righteous before God. That's His covenant promise. And the Holy Ghost assures us that He will be with us and dwell in us, sanctifying us to be members of Christ and applying unto us that which we have in Christ. And so if we bring our children for baptism and we answer the questions or have brought them in the past, this answer will be given, yes. Yes. Though my house be not so with God, yet He hath made with me. Do you believe that to be true? Or do you question in the first day of 2011 His faithfulness? We are reminded in the Lord's Supper also that Jesus Christ was sent of the Father into the world. We read He assumed our flesh and blood, suffered under the wrath of God, which should have been our portion forever. But Christ, having come and lived in all obedience, we read in the form, would set us free from the curse of the law and all our sin. And He confirms this covenant with the shedding of His blood and His death, which we will have set before our eyes time and again in the bread and in the wine. It is through this covenant, a one-sided, God-enacted covenant, that we have our hope and our expectation. There is nothing that could be accomplished or done by us. There is no amount of self-produced repentance or self-produced faith that could earn the place in this covenant. But this covenant is set before us. Salvation and His promise is set before all who hear the gospel, that whosoever will, let him come and take of the water of life freely. God Himself is the bestower of every good gift. And upon our asking, He has said He is willing to give. And David's eye was upon this God and this promise and this covenant. And is this not the language of all the church? John the Apostle, he said, we love Him because He first loved us. He made a covenant. And because of His faithfulness and His covenant, which He has uncovered, and He has opened my eyes to see and to receive and to believe and to rest upon, my confidence, my hope, my expectation for 2011 is in Him. And the reason why David confesses this covenant is because he lists for us three things that make this covenant great. And the first thing David mentions is, he calls it an everlasting covenant. What does that mean? It means not that a covenant was made at that hour in which God, looking down upon men, saw Adam fall into sin and he thought, well, what am I going to do? I have to do something to make this work. No. This is an eternal covenant. Its root is in eternity before the beginning of time. This covenant was determined and signed, if you will, before you or I were even born. That makes this covenant absolutely certain. It cannot, it will not, it shall not fail. That's why David, when he begins to understand the certainty of this truth, rests, although my house be not so with God yet, yet He has made with me an everlasting covenant. And this covenant has been ratified in the coming of God's own Son in the fullness of time. This covenant has been signed and sealed in the blood of Jesus Christ, who came to earth, who agreed from eternity, Father, I delight to do Thy will. And do you think that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, whose love was determined to be for His church and His children from all eternity, could somehow in 2011 change? Impossible. And if God has revealed and demonstrated to you in the past His love, His kindness, and has uncovered to you something of this covenant faithfulness in Christ, and you have seen the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin, and you've laid hold upon Him, you have no reason to fear. He is faithful. This was David's confidence by faith. Although, yet, He hath made with me an everlasting covenant. God sent forth His Son, and His Son endured the wrath of God, the bitter agony of suffering and death. He was forsaken that He might fulfill the obligations of the covenant perfectly. And because of this, He wants His church and His people to know and to live out of in 2011 this truth, His love, His great and eternal love that He has in His covenant for Christ's sake, even for those who must say, although my house is not so with God yet. God's love cannot falter. It cannot be changed. Cannot be broken. This covenant is from eternity to eternity and can never change. And this is what David experienced. in his life as he looks back. God was faithful. His promise did not fail. He did accomplish his word. And if you have known and tasted something of God's love in time past, there is nothing that can alter his covenant. The second thing that David mentions about this covenant, he says it's ordered in all things. In other words, children, David is saying this covenant which God has, because he is good, because he is holy and just and upright, merciful and kind and gracious, this covenant is absolutely ordered and sure. There's nothing lacking. There is nothing that will take place in 2011 that will escape the ordering of this covenant to be fulfilled. It's impossible. He is already today. And the gospel word that we hear, ordering his covenant. It's been also your place at this house to hear this message that is part of the ordering of this covenant. The covenant, David says, is ordered in all things. So whatever you and I are going to face in 2011 is ordered of covenant God. Do you need grace to get through each day? It's promised through this covenant. Do you need grace to believe? It is promised in this covenant. Do you need repentance in your life? It is promised. He is given and exalted to give repentance unto those. Do we need the indwelling of the Spirit of Christ in this year? It's promised in His covenant. Do we need comfort and balm and healing for our souls? It's promised in this covenant. There is nothing lacking. God will work out His purpose in the lives of His children and in the life of the church. That's why in Hebrews we read, "Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever." 2011 is going to be tailor-made for everyone in the covenant. What does it mean to be tailor-made? When you go to the tailor, children, you know, he snips off something, perhaps your pants is too long, he hems it up, he takes in the sleeves, he makes it fit you perfectly. So that if a taller boy or girl, whatever you were getting in the store, tried on what you were buying, wouldn't fit. This year will be tailor-made for your life, for mine. All things, David says, are ordered. And if we know Jesus Christ in the covenant, the Father orders all things for good. All things that come upon us is said to be either turned to our advantage or taken away. God knew our steps before our days began. He knows what He's doing in 2011. This world that comes around us and all that takes place, there is this growing sense, it seems, in the world. There is no God. Days of which Peter foretold, "Where is His coming?" the mockers and the scoffers will say. And we are caught up with this idea. Our lives are just carried on. We're so busy and all is just what we are doing in life.
and we forget. Yet there is He who makes an everlasting covenant in Jesus Christ with sinners. And the third thing then that David says about this covenant is that it's sure, it's reliable. That means in this new year, whatever shall come upon our path, this faithful covenant of God shall endure. It is sure. It shall not fail. It's rock solid. It will last forever. It shall not fail. And this morning then, our hope and our confidence ought to be directed to Him, who is the fulfillment of this covenant. Our Lord Jesus Christ, who answered in our behalf, I come to do Thy will. And He is done perfectly when we have to say although. Jesus never had to say although. And He has accomplished what we could not do, and are believing and trusting in Him, which He, by this covenant, works out in our life, draws us unto Himself, strips us of all of our unrighteousness and sin, and clothes us with His righteousness, so that we by faith may rest on this rock and sureness of Jesus Christ. David's confession here in the Old Testament is already indications of what it shall be for the New Testament church. Our life, congregation, if we are in Christ, is hid away in Him. And there is nothing. The gates of hell cannot prevail against those who are hid in Jesus Christ, because He has entered the grave and He has burst forth from the tomb, and the gates of hell and death could not hold Him. No matter what comes upon our path, if we are in Jesus Christ in 2011, shall be a mistake. It is sure. Even though we experience perhaps disappointment, and we're disappointed with ourselves, disappointed with others and our relationships around us, we experience trouble and trial and sickness and poverty and prosperity and health, if we may know, as we enter in upon this new year, I have been reconciled to God. My sins are forgiven. I am in Jesus Christ. I am in His covenant. Then we can say, yet He has made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things, and sure, this is my salvation and all my desire. So don't expect, and I need to speak to myself, don't expect in this new year that we have begun to find your comfort, your peace, your joy in whatever could take place. There are so many ways in which we could face grave difficulties in this year. But our comfort will be when we rely and lean upon the Lord alone, clinging to Him and His covenant faithfulness. Is this your desire and all your salvation? If not, David tells us, he is faithful in setting before us the opposite side. David continues by talking about the sons of Belial. Even among the church of the Old Testament, Israel, shall be all of them as thorns thrust away. It says you can't come near them because you need a long shears and a long stick like a spear, else you'd be stuck through with these thorns. And David realizes even in his own house, even in Israel, there were not those who relied in this covenant, although outwardly they were part of it. And shall it be with you? Though you're outwardly a part of this covenant of grace that is proclaimed and set before you, which you, by your baptism, are said to have entered in, as it were. And yet as you grow up, you're like the sons of Belial. You put it away from you. And he paints a picture for us what shall happen to these sons of Belial who trust not God's faithfulness. They will be cut down, as Jesus himself says, and they shall be as fodder for the fire. This year that is upon us, congregation, if we are not in the covenant of God, if by faith we do not lean and rest upon Christ in the covenant, you and I have no place of safety from the coming fire of God's wrath. But those who have fled to Jesus Christ by faith will be enabled more and more when they lean upon Him to say, although my house be not so with God, yet He has made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things, and sure, that's my salvation. That's my desire. Can you say that yourself for 2011 as well? Amen. See the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.